Good morning, everybody. I am presenting Bruising in Avocado Hair Supply Chains in Queensland, Australia. We focus from ripener to the consumer. Background, why we are doing avocados? Because avocado is a major and growing industry in Australia. Last year we produced about 60,000 tons of avocado in Australia. Queensland is the largest growing state, which produces about 80% of Australian avocado production. And Hass is the major variety worldwide. About 80% of the avocado production worldwide is covered by Hass only. Also, avocado is mainly consumed as fresh commodity in salads, in guacamole, sandwich filling, and accompaniment to meals. And Australian avocado consumption, currently it is about 3.1 kilogram per person per year, and it has almost doubled only in last 10 years. Retail surveys, coming towards the problem, retail surveys over last more than 20 years, they are reporting that consumers are not satisfied with the quality which they pay for at the retail display. For example, 40 to 50% of the consumers, they have bad purchase experiences because of the poor internal food quality. Another example is that about 63% of the food on the retail display has quality problems, and out of that 63%, about 29% has more than 10% of internal fruit damaged due to bruises or rots. And the third problem is that consumers' intention to repeat purchase is declined if more than 10% of the fruit flesh has any internal quality defects. This is the data which presents about 4-5 years of internal quality problems of Hass avocado fruit, and we see that bruising has always remained a predominant problem among others. And coming exactly towards my PhD research problem, it says that about 80% of the Hass avocado fruit has internal fruit quality problems, which affects consumers' intent to repeat purchase, and we don't know where in the supply chain this problem happens and how we can manage this problem. Before going to my results, just a quick snapshot of bruising. Every living cell, plant or animal, they have a self-defense mechanism. When an internal force of impact or compression is applied on the cell, it responds to it in an elastic manner. If the force is less than a particular threshold level, the cell reforms its structure, but if the force is more than that threshold level, it deforms, and it is called plastic deformation. And in the case of plastic deformation, the cell physiology is disturbed because the enzymes which are responsible for flesh burning, they are latent as far as cell is intact. But when it is deformed or damaged, then they become active, and it results in increased rate of respiration and ethylene production, and ultimately we see bruising in the form of flesh burning. I will present most of my results here, and if somebody is interested in more details, we can talk about them later. So we started with a simple introductory experiment, rather more towards confirmatory experiments, because literature suggests that green fruits, they do not bruise. So we took I went to an orchard with my impact device, and we harvested some fruit and impacted them from 50 centimeter and 100 centimeter drop heights. And then we brought them to the laboratory and did their assessments over 15 days. And we noticed that some of the fruit, even on 15 days, they didn't have any kind of internal quality problem. Some of them, they at the site of impact, they had developed rots instead of any bruising. So we confirmed that the green fruit, they does not bruise. However, at the site of impact, sometimes there are chances of maybe the skin was damaged and the latent infection from outside, it entered the bruised area, and it caused rotting in there. And then we went to the firm ripe fruit, we impacted them and did their we wanted to do their assessment until day 10. But as we progressed in our experiment, on day 5, 4 out of 10 fruits, they had developed rots. On day 6, 7 out of 10 fruits had developed rots. And on day 7, all of the fruit had already developed rots in them. So we couldn't distinguish more between rots and disease, bruising, so we left our experiment on day 7. Then the next experiment, we just wanted to confirm that most of the bruising, maybe it is happening on the display when the people go and squeeze the food. So we simulated the conditions in our laboratory where we impacted fruit, compressed fruit with our thumb at slight, moderate and firm compression, and on the other side we made this equipment which is a strain gauge and artificial thumb, human thumb, and the avocado fruit holder. We moved that fruit slowly towards the against the thumb, and we read on this strain gauge that how much force we have applied, I mean this fruit has absorbed. And this experiment, we applied 1 kilogram, 2 kilogram and 3 kilogram equivalent forces, and we established a correlation between slight and 1 kilogram, moderate and 2 kilogram and firm and 3 kilogram of forces, that they produce almost equal amount of flesh bruising in the fruit. Then we did these, confirmed these findings with the help of magnetic resonance imaging. We took green fruit and impacted it at 100 cm drop height, firm ripe fruits impacted at 20 cm drop height and 50 cm drop height. We placed this fruit in magnetic resonance imaging at UQ St. Lucia and continuously got their image for 96 hours and then every 24 hours for 7 days. And we just went through all the way that how the bruising started at the place of site of impact and how it progressed over time. The interesting finding was the green fruit, its bruising didn't, in the MRI, it never increased in size. And we, side by side with this MRI, we were doing destructive assessments where we saw that the bruising increased in size in the firm ripe fruit impacted from 25 centimeter and 50 centimeter drop heights, but no apparent sign of bruising was visible in fruit, green fruit impacted from 100 centimeter of drop height. And then we went towards about some exploratory experiments. One of them was to see the effect of dry matter contents on bruising in avocado fruit. We tagged two trees and an orchard at this beginning of a season, start of May, and then fortnightly we harvested fruit from that orchard and measured their dry matter contents in, to measure the maturity level. And we saw that dry matter contents increased over the season up to the 13th of September, which was the last harvest. And we saw that the, and then that fruit we kept in the store, did the ethylene treatment for, so that they are ripened at firm ripe stage. We impacted them from 50 centimeter drop height, kept them for another 48 hours so that bruise can express itself, and then we did the assessments and we noticed that the results are rather short, that the bruising it decreased over the harvest period. The next experiment was conducted to see if there is any correlation between pre-ripening fruit holding duration and bruise expression. So for this experiment, we harvested fruit in the same orchard and took them to our laboratory, kept them at 5 degrees Celsius. The first drawing was made on the day of harvest, and then subsequently every week we draw some fruit from the from that lot, ripened them, and at firm ripe stage we impacted them at 50 centimeter drop height, held them for another 48 hours so that bruises can express itself, and then we saw that the bruise expression, it became severe and severe as the time after harvest and before ripening increased. Next one in this series was the effect of temperature, pre-impact and post-impact fruit holding temperature on bruise expression. In this one, we maintained flesh temperatures at of firm ripe fruit at 5 degrees Celsius, at 20 degrees Celsius, and impacted them from 50 centimeter drop height, and then post-impact we held them at 5 degrees Celsius, 10 degrees Celsius and 20 degrees Celsius for both of lots, and gave them 48 hours so that fruits can express themselves, and then did the destructive assessments and saw that the fruit which was held at 5 degrees Celsius before and after impact, it had significantly, significantly less bruising compared with all other treatments, and the fruit which was held at 20 degrees Celsius at the time of impact and post-impact it was held at 5 degrees Celsius, it still had significantly less bruising compared with all other treatments. Then we went to the supply chain. We covered supply chain from ripener, arrival, to the consumer's homes, covering the Gripner dispatch, distribution center arrival and dispatch, store arrival, store display, store checkout and consumer's homes. We did these things in bits and pieces in the beginning. For example, in 2011 and 12, we covered from Gripner arrival to the store display. In 2013, one experiment included store staff study. Second experiment included shoppers' contribution, which again had two experiments. Then the consumers' contribution, and then we did a big study covering all of these areas. Also, in these studies, we used shock indicators, shock loggers, and impact recording devices to see where any significant impacts happen to the fruit, which result in bruising at the time of consumption. So for the first 2 years of where we covered from Gripner arrival to stores, we actually did this experiment for 8 stores, and fruit was sampled from all these points, and then destructive assessments were conducted, and we came to know that there was not much significant bruising until the fruit arrives at the store. But when it is on the display, in either case, the bruising increases significantly, highly significantly. So most of the focus from that onwards, we focus on the store and consumers and shoppers. Next year, first experiment we did to see the contribution of store staff handling practices. For this experiment, we gave 2 trays of fruit in 4 stores at the back of the store, and asked the people to behave with the fruit like they normally do with the avocados, the store staff. And when they put the fruit on the display 48 hours of our reception, then we went back and collected fruit from the display, took it to our laboratory, gave them another 48 hours so that fruit can express itself, and then did the assessments. And we saw that compared with control for both of these superstore chains, the contribution of store staff was significantly higher. Then we went for shoppers' contribution. We adopted 2 different strategies. In one, we took fruit from Gripner and left it on the display for about 6 hours. And after 6 hours, we went and took the remaining fruit from the display, took it to our laboratory and kept it for 48 hours so that fruit can express itself, and then we did its destructive assessment. In second approach, we took fruit from Gripner's and put it on the display, and myself and one of my team members, we remained around the display, and as soon as some shopper came and picked the fruit to see if it is ripe or not, and they put it back on the display, we picked it back, and we collected some fruit, about 40 fruits from each sampling, and took it to our laboratory for destructive assessments. So the results of the fruit handled by one shopper, they showed that even the single touch, it contributes a lot towards bruising, and multiple touch, they, of course, the magnitude of bruising increases when multiple people, when the fruit was left on the display for 6 hours. Then going towards consumers, again we did 2 approaches. One was to give clean fruit, which was taken from Gripner straight to participating consumers. Consumers came to the stores, we gave them that fruit, they took it to their homes, and at the time of consumption, we got that fruit along with some diary note questions, which I am not presenting in this presentation. That is another qualitative research area, which is we just combined with this quantitative research. So So we took half the number of fruit back from their homes and did their destructive assessments to see what they have consumed. In another approach, the fruit which was traveling all the way from Gripner arrival to dispatch, then distribution center arrival and dispatch, then store back of the store on the display, and then finally consumers' homes. So consumers came to the store, they picked the fruit which had traveled all the way in the supply chain, and when they consumed at their homes, we went back to them and took half the number of fruit back from them and did their destructive assessments. So for first one where the clean fruit was given to consumers, although the contribution was not too much, but compared with control, it was significantly high. And the fruit which had traveled all the way in the supply chain, still we saw that bruising kept increasing from store arrival onwards. On the display, it was significantly higher than all previous stages, and at consumers' home, all because all bits and pieces, every touch, every impact, they had been growing over time. So when the fruit was arrived at consumer's home, average bruising in each fruit was about 9.64 milliliters. Summary of my research says that when a softening fruit absorbs energy due to any impact or compression, the enzymes lying latent in its plastids, they become activated, polypeptide PPOs and polypeptide oxidases, and the fruit bruises. Then it depends on the storage duration. If the fruit has been held before ripening or after impact too long, the bruising will be higher. If the temperature of fruit post-impact fruit holding temperature was higher, then the bruising severity will be higher. If the fruit maturity is low, for example, the fruit has been harvested earlier in the season, there is more chances of flesh bruising. And if the fruit firmness at the time of impact is low, then there is more chances of flesh bruising. Getting this into supply chain context, we see that the fruit which at until the ripeners facility, it does not bruise because they are usually green and hard. But as the fruit moves in the supply chain and its mechanical handling in the shape of pellets is replaced by manual handling in the shape of trays and individual fruits at store display and consumer's home, the bruising severity increases towards the end of the chain. And our message and our and conclusion from this summary is that we should harvest fruit at optimal harvest maturity when they are, we need to establish a phase or dry matter contents, particularly where there are trade between the bruising incidents and harvest maturity, so that we don't have to keep the fruit so long on the tree, but we are sure that fruit will not get too much bruising at that this point after. And then the temperature management through the supply chain, we see that 5 degrees Celsius is a reasonable temperature where fruit does not show a bruising expression. So we are encouraging industry partners to maintain their low temperature and keep fruit, don't keep it in the open fruit and vegetable section, rather keep them in a cooler place near to the milk and meat section. And we are encouraging them to move fruit greener and as quickly as possible through the supply chain so that fruit does not get much chance to express themselves. Expected outcomes of this study are that flesh bruising will be reduced, consumers will be more aware of the sensitivity of this crop, they will be more satisfied, and the more demand and prosperity of this industry. And a broader impact implication of this research is that the food loss due to bruising will reduce, and we will contribute towards increasing demand of food worldwide. We are trying to convey this message through YouTube, newspapers, blogs, radio, television, through all possible channels in Australia, and conferences and presentations worldwide, so that our message can get to maximum number of people, and people awareness ultimately will lead towards better food quality. Thank you very much.
I have a question. Your results are very similar to a survey that I participated in here in the United States, and the recommendation from the survey was that the avocado should be marketed in refrigerated cases. But the big feedback that came from the distributors, at least here in the United States, is that there's studies been done that you have increased avocado sales when they're marketed next to tomatoes.
Mm.
And that the conclusion was that the loss in sales by putting them in a refrigerated case away from the tomatoes was greater than the loss of people not coming back, because there's very few returns, even though the results are the same here in the United States, with a lot of losing. So, what's the solution?
Yes, solution is that we need to motivate our industry. Avocado industry in Australia is a very strong industry, and it has many different channels of campaign, educating consumers and educating retailers and everybody. So we need to motivate consumers at how to behave with the fruit, where to go, what level to buy. Similarly, we have to motivate and educate retailers at how to deal the fruit and how to pass it through the chain, where to keep it. So it will not happen only by giving this package of to the retailers or to one channel. We need to do it industry-wide, and we need a strong avocado industry in our country which can deal with all the aspects of this supply chain.
This is a question for both Mohammed and Mary Lou. I don't know a lot about avocados in general, but as almost all of us in this room, PhDs even, we love to push and squeeze that avocado to know.
Yeah.
Would there be a cost prohibitive potential, for example, to use those little diamond-shaped styrofoam wraps that you see on Asian pears and certain pears to preclude? I know. Well, you might preclude a little bit of the squeezing and help the shipping, but would that be cost prohibitive or what?
I don't know. The way the pack would be very difficult. It would be a major change in the packing house because avocados have really actually minimal handling, at least in the United States, and in Chile and Peru. But we did some work with Jim Thompson had this suspended tray. Suspended tray really reduced that. Of course, they're very protective and beneficial. But they're very expensive, and over and beyond the cost, it reduces the volume of the amount of power.
Well, I will put some more on this. That this is a very burning question, and we are working on that as well. We are doing applying different approaches. Some of the research which I have not presented here, we use texture analyzer to see that at how much level of firmness, what is the recovery of the fruit when the load is removed from one of them. Then we are applying using some sensors. Force sensors and tech scan systems to see that how much force is too much for bruising to happen in the fruit and all these results. And then we are, these days we are in negotiation with a engineering company to build a manufacturer machine for us, which we put on the display. And we are working with Coles and Woolworths, which are the major retailers in Australia. And they are happy to keep machines along with the display of avocados where people don't have to push the fruit, rather machine will do this job for them. They put the fruit on the machine and it will not damage the flesh, it will just feel the firmness and then it will blink the light whether it is ready for consumption today or guacamole or tomorrow or there will be four options in that machine. That is one option. Then an aroma volatiles, which is another thing, maybe not doable, but we are considering it as an option that we need to establish a link between the ripening and volatiles emerging from the fruit so that people don't have to squeeze the fruit, rather the smell can work for them. So these are different options which we are working on.
When you did your drop test for 50 to 100
grams, what did you drop them onto? We use a pendulum device which when the fruit is held in a cup and aluminium coil, which means rod, aluminium rod. At the end there is a cup, and when we drop it, it hits a solid surface, steel surface, and we just hold the rod when it bounces back, and we measure the bounce back height as well, and then we see that how much was the drop, initial drop height, how much is the bounce back height, what is the weight of the fruit, and we calculate the energy absorbed by the fruit.
So that
it hurts the steel surface.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.